Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WV5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSat Net. This net meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1601, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, March the 4th, 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, March the 5th, 2025 at 0200. This is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we're on the 145.19 repeater here in West Houston, and the PL tone is 123.0, and we're also on the 442.5 you can monitor over there, and we're currently not taking check-ins from that frequency, but we're glad to have those people aboard. So let's see, I'll now take a local check-ins here on the 145.19.
This is
in K5WH, Northeastern.
Kilo, India Zero Delta Echo, KI Zero DE, Mike and Katie. No traffic. This is.
Good evening, Marty and the net. Whiskey 5 Bravo's here, Alpha W5BSA here in Houston.
Okay, very good. Well, we got Joe, W5BSA, our net control operator, and we got him aboard just a little bit before the net started. So, good evening to him, and thanks for the new connections and letting us know about that stuff last week. We also have Walter, K5WH. Good evening to Walter. And, of course, he's our South Texas Balloon Launch Team leader and keeps things going over there, and we sure do appreciate that. And then I want to say hello again to Mike, KI0DE, and he's out there in Katy. So we have anybody else out there?
BL123.
Okay, well, you can call and check into the Houston AmSat Net by making a quick phone check-in to 713-467-9870. Can send an APRS message, that's to West Virginia 5 Yankee, with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. And you can also send an email, and that's to wv5y@comcast.net. Okay, well, this weekend going on, the Greater Houston Hamfest, and of course that's thanks to BVARC and a bunch of those folks, and of course they're also thanks to Walter, there will be some balloon launches going on, and a lot of good action, maybe also some rocket launches by the University of Houston, so we're hoping the weather cooperates, so we'll be looking forward to that. And a lot of good action there. I think they're going to have a complete AmSat satellite station set up there, and as well as an HF station, so you can watch all kinds of contacts being made on ham radio and ask questions, and they'll be glad to give you some answers. Walter, do you have anything you want to add? K5WH, WV5Y?
Yeah, sure thing, Marty. Yeah, we'll be having a lot of fun, and we certainly hope we get to see a lot of great people making live contacts from the booth. So we encourage everybody to come on out, drop on in, and say hello, and more importantly, maybe even make a contact from the station there. Thank you there, Marty. K5WH, and weather permitting, we'll send a lot of things up into the air this weekend. All the best, K5WH.
Okay, very good. And are y'all still having, I know that y'all have your monthly meetings there on the second Wednesday of the month, usually 4:30 p.m. here at a local restaurant before the Zoom meeting at 8 p.m. that takes place over at k5wh.net/Zoom, thanks to you. But are y'all still doing the restaurant?
Roger, roger. Yes, indeed. We will be over there at the Lazy Dog over there on, I guess it's Highway 290, right at Highway 6 or 1960, depending on which direction you're coming from. But yes, indeed, we'll be there at the Lazy Dog as normal, second Wednesday, of each month. K5WH.
Okay, we appreciate there, Walter, and we're going to be looking for a lot of good balloon action and a lot of excitement there going on this weekend, and that's out at Rosenberg at the Greater Houston Ham Fest there. And that is at the Fort Bend County Fairgrounds, and let's see, it's from on Friday, it's from noon until, I guess, about 5 or 6 p.m., and then on Sunday from 8 a.m. till 3 p.m. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSatNet. See, we're going to jump over here to the AmSat News Service. This is bulletin number 61. This is the AmSat News Service bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AmSat, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. And ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. Okay, and tonight's AmSat News Service Bulletin comes from Mark Johns, K0JM. Let's see, the news feed on AmSat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. So please send any amateur satellite news or reports to ans-editor@amsat.org. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AmSat News Service Bulletins. View the ANS list. To join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. All right, a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket will launch a dozens of satellites on the company's 13th smallest rideshare mission to a sun-synchronous orbit. The launch is currently scheduled for Tuesday, March the 4th. So that was today. And also they've got a Starship that's supposed to launch tomorrow. Let's see, among the satellites is the Hades ICM, the 1.5 Pocket Cube satellite. The main mission is to act as an FM voice repeater. It can also repeat FSK-derived modes like FT4 and FT8. As there is a small empty space available, it will be used to carry an experiment by Smart IR, or Graphene Engineering Innovation Center, the GIEC University of Manchester, UK, considering in a very low power active radiator to be tested in space conditions. The data for this experiment will be transmitted in a specific data packet in the telemetry. This experiment is the same as the one in Hades-R, now SO-124, and this experiment will be delivered to AMSAT-EA for integration and will be operated by AMSAT-EA, being all its data public and open. Engineering and manufacturing support for this mission is carried out with the help of private sector companies and universities, but AMSAT-EA will be the only operating organization. IC Mercury is the company also supporting the mission. It will develop ground tracking software for the satellite. Telemetry will send some FSK English formatted text messages, part of a history to be collected as a challenge. Hades ICM will offer licensed radio amateurs around the world the opportunity to relay FM voice and AX.25 or APRS 300 and 1200 BPS communications. FSK-derived transmissions and modes like FT4 and FT8 are also supported. As an improvement from previous missions, maximum power is now a quarter of a watt when battery is charged. The amplifier uses battery energy, allowing easier QSOs with handheld antennas like Arrow or Elk and less sensitive receivers. The satellite will also transmit telemetry with its status and CW messages. This all will be achieved by implementing an SDR-based repeater. The FM/FSK repeater will be available all the time and opened by squelch level without the need of a subtone. As payload, the satellite will carry an experiment by SMART-IR Graphene Engineering Innovation Center, GIEC, University of Manchester, consisting in a very low-power active radiator to be tested in space conditions. See, with this satellite, we also put into use the amateur VHF and UHF satellite subbands, helping to secure them for the community in the future. Proposing a UHF downlink and planning a launch on SpaceX Transporter 13 into a 500 to 600 kilometer polar orbit in February 2025. A downlink will be on 436.666 megahertz and is being coordinated by the IARU, the International Amateur Radio Union. And we want to thank the IARU for that information.
PL-123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT net. Let's see, we're a quarter past the hour here, so we're going to take a quick standby and see who we've got checking in to the net via some of our alternate means. Okay, we did hear from Charlie, K5ENG, and it sounds like he's doing pretty good this week, so appreciate that. And he's over there in West Houston. Let's see, we've got Dale, WD0AKO, up there in Moorhead, Minnesota, up in the cold country, and he does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, and we appreciate him doing that. And then thanks to Vern, WA0RCR, over there in Wentzville, Missouri, you get to hear our net again on the weekend on 1.860 megahertz, full carrier AM, as Vern likes to say, and that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturday. Okay, we've got Kai in 6ZZO. He's out there in McKinleyville, California, and he's a podcast listener, and he listens and checks in there usually on Wednesdays, so we appreciate that. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Looks like we don't have any current check-ins there off of APRS. Let's see. From the Internet Relay Chat System, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, and Bob, K8WX. And then, let's see, check an Echo Link real quick. I'm going to say good evening to Steve, KA5YFC, and hello to Mitch, 80HJ. He's out there in Jackson, Minnesota. And, of course, thanks to Mitch, you can participate in the Wednesday night AmSatNet that takes place on DMR. And Joe let us know tonight that it's also available on the 442.5 repeater here in Houston. And that's at 9 p.m. Central Time on Wednesdays. And so appreciate Mitch doing that net for us. So maybe he'll check in there from the Houston area, and that wouldn't be a bad thing. Let's see, we've got Damien, AG9T. Good evening to him. He's up there in Oconto, Wisconsin. And then Endoff, N6UTC. He's out there in Long Beach, California. So we want to say good evening to Endoff. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. All right, the 2025 AmSat President's Club coins have arrived. You can celebrate the 40th anniversary of AmSat radio, or amateur radio, on human spaceflight. And you can help support Golf and Fox Plus. You can join the AmSat President's Club today. Help keep amateur radio in space just by going over to www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club. Okay, we've got 9 new Tevel satellites scheduled for launch. The group of satellites labeled as Tevel 2 are on the launch manifest for the SpaceX Transporter 13 mission, scheduled for launch on March the 4th today, and designated as Tevel 2-1 through Tevel 2-9. They are all listed as having a downlink frequency of 436.400 MHz. However, this frequency has not been coordinated with the IARU, the International Amateur Radio Union. One may assume that these satellites will operate in much the same manner as the first series of Tevel satellites launched in January of 2022 and now decayed from orbit. These satellites were activated individually and carry FM repeaters with the same 436.400 MHz downlink and an uplink frequency of 145.970 MHz. However, there is no official word from the satellite sponsors as to their plans for this new series of satellites. Yo, yet another satellite on the Transporter 13 manifest is Nyla, a 3U CubeSat built by Hex 20 Labs and students of Marion Engineering College, both in India. The builders of this satellite requested a UHF downlink for 9600 BPS GFSK/AX25 telemetry. However, the IARU declined the request because they deemed the project commercial and not qualifying for use of amateur frequencies. And we want to thank Jan Van Giles, PE0SAT, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSatNet. Looks like UVSQ-SAT-NG is scheduled for launch, and that's also among the satellites on the manifest for the SpaceX Rideshare 13 launch. It's the third of a series of French CubeSats named UVSQ-SAT-NG, or Next Generation. The previous satellites in this series carried amateur radio FM transponders. Specifically designed to observe essential climate variables, UVSQ-SAT-NG is a 6U nanosatellite, meaning that it has the dimensions of 6 stacked unit cubes, each cube having a standard size of 10 centimeters by 10 centimeters, weighing only 10 kilograms. UVSQ-SAT-NG represents a true concentrate of technology. The satellite is equipped with a sophisticated attitude determination and control system designed to meet a variety of scientific requirements related to the observation of essential climate variables. This addition distinguishes it considerably from its two predecessors. UVSQ-SAT and InspireSat-7. In a study published in the journal Remote Sensing Journal, a team of researchers from the Atmosphere's Laboratory Space Observations, or LATMOS/CNRS Sorbonne University, UVSQ, in partnership with industry, described this new space mission as well as its scientific aims. The satellite is scheduled to be launched in 2025. One of the objectives of UPSQ-SAT-NG is to maintain the continuity of the Earth's radial assessment studies initiated by the UVSQ-SAT and InspireSat-7 satellites launched in 2021 and 2023, respectively. The UVSQ-SAT-NG mission also involves monitoring concentrations of greenhouse gases such as carbon dioxide and methane, while analyzing their links with infrared radiation emitted by the Earth.
DL-123.
In addition to the method used to determine the components of the Earth's radial balance sheet from the instruments of the UVSQ-SAT-NG satellite, researchers detail the technologies used to extract information on atmospheric gas columns, CO2, CH4, O2, and H2O, from data from the miniaturized infrared spectrometer that will be on board UPSQ-SAT-NG. Both scientific and innovative, this research project is primarily an educational tool and is an exceptional educational platform for students who are actively involved in the design, implementation of the satellite structure, and the establishment of a satellite management and management center. This program aims to meet the requirements of enterprises and public bodies in terms of training, development, and initial and continuous educational programs, while at the same time increasing the attractiveness of these training courses. This is in order to ensure the acquisition of the key competences required for the emergency professions of France in 2030. Emerging, is that what I said? Emerging professions of France in 2030. Okay. UVSG SAT-NG is equipped with several instruments, including radiative sensors, thermopiles with carbon nanotubes for monitoring incoming solar radiation and outgoing terrestrial radiation. A near-infrared spectrometer is also on board to evaluate atmospheric concentrations of greenhouse gases by making observations in the wavelength range of 1200 to 2000 nanometers. And in addition, UVSG SAT-NG carries a high-definition camera designed to take images of the Earth in the visible spectrum. This nano-cam will facilitate the post-processing of spectrometer-based data by ensuring accurate geolocation of observed scenes. It will also offer the possibility of observing the Earth's edge, thus giving an approximate estimation of the vertical temperature profile of the atmosphere. All right, hey, those flat earthers, they'll like observations of the Earth's edge. Let's see, a scientific paper published in the journal Remote Sensing states that the ISS Space VHF receiver, the RX, operates in the commercial frequency range of 148 to 150.5 megahertz, and for amateur frequency coordination, it operates within the frequency range of 145.8 to 146.0 megahertz. On the other hand, the ISS Space VHF transmitter, the TX, covers the commercial frequency range of 400.15 to 402 megahertz, and for amateur usage, it spans the range of 435.0 to 438.0 megahertz. An audio transponder will also be used with the amateur radio community. However, no amateur frequencies have been coordinated with the International Amateur Radio Union, and no amateur operation has been announced. But we want to thank Remote Sensing and the IARU for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSatNet. Alright, a new toy coming in 2025. It's the SDR Gen 2, a versatile GNU radio-based transverter. It'll be covering 144 MHz through 6 GHz continuous coverage. It's got direct VHF, UHF, 900 MHz, L-band, S-band, and C-band ops. Up conversion to 5 and dime capability. Alright, you can receive all mode, CW, SFB, FT8, narrowband FM, single sideband TV, amateur television, all kinds of stuff. And the minimum downlink data rate is 1 megacycle MS per second. And it's built to fly on the Fox Plus and Golf missions. All right, we'll be following AmSat News Service for more information on that. This is Marty, WV, AmSatNet. Let's see, it looks like we're right at the bottom of the hour, So we're going to take a quick standby and see if we have any local check-ins.
Whiskey Delta 5, Juliet Romeo Delta, WD5 JRD Carl, sorry I'm late.
No problem, Carl. We're glad to have you aboard, WD5JRD up there in Jersey Village. You got a good signal there, as usual, and hope to see you this weekend out there in Rosenberg at the Fort Bend County Fairgrounds. Okay, sounds like we got everybody aboard there. See, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat.net. The Intuitive Machines Lunar Lander beams back its first images of Earth. And that's not the only one that's been on the moon lately. Let's see, the Athena lunar lander manufactured by Houston, Texas aerospace company Intuitive Machines shared its first selfies from orbit after launching at 0016 UTC on Thursday, February 27th from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. The images released later Thursday show the six-legged Nova C lander with Earth in the background. Intuitive Machines shared the photos within about 13 hours of the spacecraft launching to orbit aboard the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket. All right, wish we were doing some SSTV here at the end of the net like we used to do with Andy, because that's a beautiful picture here of the Earth. And the lander there in the picture as well. Intuitive Machines, the company that built and operates that lunar lander, shared its first images from after launching from Florida. The craft is carrying a number of science instruments, including water hunting technology for NASA. The Athena spacecraft, which is on a mission known as IM-2, is now one of two American-made uncrewed lunar landers on their way to the moon's surface. Firefly Aerospace, also based in Texas, is operating its own spacecraft named Blue Ghost that is due to attempt a landing early Sunday after about a 45-day voyage. And they had a perfect landing, I must say, and within about 100 meters of where they had originally aimed for, and didn't topple over or anything, do anything funky like that. She was pretty short and squat, and they're already starting to get pictures back from on the moon. NASA is the primary customer on both commercial space flights, which are due to study different regions of the moon's surface to pave the way for astronauts to return as early as 2027 under the space agency's Artemis program. The NASA campaign is treating the moon as a vital pit stop for spacefarers to pause and fuel up ahead of the first crewed missions to Mars.
BL-123.
All right, makes an exciting few days here coming up with the Firefly landing there, and then the Starship going up tomorrow, and then it looks like Athena should be landing on the moon's south pole on Thursday on March the 6th. The IM-2 mission is targeting a landing near a plateau known as Mons Mouton, which would be even further south than Intuitive Machines' first lander, Odysseus, which made history in February of 2024. The mesa-like lunar mountain towers over a landscape carved by craters, including the Shackleton Crater, a cold, dark region where water and ice and other volatile materials that turn easily into gas are thought to be abundant. The main experiment aboard Athena is NASA's Prime 1, the Polar Resources Ice Mining Experiment. The dual instrument, composed of both a drill and a mass spectrometer, will excavate and measure lunar soil, known as regolith, to detect whether gases and accessible resources are present. Water ice, thought to be abundant in the region, once uncovered, could be extracted and used for drinking, breathing, and as a source of hydrogen and oxygen for rocket fuel to make future expeditions to Mars possible, according to NASA. Other objectives include testing a Nikola LTE 4G communication system and deploying a propulsive drone capable of hopping across the lunar surface. NASA's Lunar Trailblazer spacecraft, which launched as a rideshare on the Falcon 9, also began its own separate journey to lunar orbit to map the distribution of the different forms of water on Earth's only natural satellite. And we want to thank Eric Legata, reporting for USA Today, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSat Net. Well, yes, SpaceX has delayed its Flight 8 of Starship. SpaceX has pushed the 8th test flight of its Starship Mega Rocket back a few days. It's supposed to be tomorrow. Elon Musk's company had been targeting Friday, February 28th, for Flight 8 of Starship, the biggest and most powerful rocket ever built, but that's no longer the plan. Okay, now targeting to launch Starship's 8th flight test as soon as Monday, March the 3rd. SpaceX said in an X post early on Thursday morning, February 27th, no reason was given for the delay, and they had a little bit further delay. They didn't quite launch on Monday, March the 3rd. They weren't quite ready. Or they had some unspecified issue. Let's see, if all goes to plan, Starship will lift off from SpaceX's facility in South Texas on Monday during a window that opens at 2330 UTC or 5:30 p.m. local Texas time. And I think the time stays the same. It's just going to happen on Wednesday, which will be tomorrow. SpaceX will try for another chopsticks catch of Super Heavy, the booster, its third overall if successful, and ship, the upper stage, will attempt to deploy mock Starlink satellites on its suborbital trajectory. Ship will again target a controlled splashdown off Western Australia. Eventually, SpaceX plans to snag the returning upper stage using the launch tower's chopsticks as well, but the company isn't ready to try that just yet. And we want to thank space.com for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, in the Houston AmSat Net. See, we've got the Gridmaster Map Satellite Top 100 Rover, the listing for March 2025 rankings. The March 2025 rankings for the top 100 rovers is mixed, being low Earth orbit, medium Earth orbit, and geostationary in satellite operations, and it's as determined by @Gridmaster map on X, and it has been released. The ranking is determined by the number of grids the DXCC entities activated, taking into account only those grids where a minimum number of QSOs logged on the Gridmaster FR website have been validated by a third party. Grid numbers do not directly reflect the exact number of activations. Satellite operators are encouraged to upload their logbook of the world satellite contacts to gridmaster.fr in order to provide more accurate data. All right, we're going through the list here. We're still in top place, have been here for a while, and then position number one, you've got ND9M. All right, following up, in positions 2 through 25, we've got JH7H, JA9KRO, UT1FG, N5UC, DL6AP, OE3SEU, WI7P, DP0POL, K5ZM, F5VMJ, N6UA, there you go. We've got HA3FOK, WY7AA, N9IP, W5PFG, we've got LU5ILA, DL2GRC, AK8CW, AD0DX, N4AKV, there's Mitch, 80HJ in position 22. We've got WD9EWK in 23, ND0C, and then DJ8MS in position 25. All right, for the second group here, we've got KX9X, ON4AUC, KG5CCI, N5BO, KABL, KE4AL, KB5FHK, VE3HLS, PA3GAN, KI0KB, JO2ASQ, KI7UNJ, LA9XGA, F4BKV, BA1PK, VA3VGR, N7AGF, VK5DG, XE3DX, PE0PWPA. That was KE0WPA. We've got PR8KW, KE0PBR, K7TAB, EB1A0, and AC0RA. Okay, starting with position 51. Got W7WGC, N6DMM, JK2XXK, EA4NF, SM3NRY, JL3RNZ, DF2ET, XE1ET, VU4JVE, AA5PK, KI7QEK, SP5XSD, F4DXV, AD7DB, VE1CWJ, KE9AJ, DL4EA, N8RO, KM4LAO, VA7LM, BG7QIW, M1DDD, W8LR, W1AW in position 74, and N4UFO in 75.
DL123.
Okay, for the last quarter, we've got HB9GWJ, PT2AP, AA8CH, PT9BM, VE1VOX, FG8OJ, YU0W, K KJ7NDY, KI7UXT, N6UTC is INDOF. We got KB2YSI, AF5CC, WA9JBQ, and you are in position 85. Let's see, we've got N4DCW, JM1CAX, K0FFY, VE3GOP, N0TEL, KG4AXB, WA8MTB, ZU2ZG, VE7PTN, DK9JC, K6VHF, and in position 100, VE6WK. Alright, this is Marty, WV6NAMSatNet, and we want to thank the at Gridmaster Map for that list. The AMSAT removable forward flight key tags are available, and they are the real thing, the same thing that goes on the satellites before they're getting put on their rides. So your $20 donation goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite, and it includes first class postage. Sorry, this is for U.S. addresses only. You can order today. Get your lovely red with white lettering and the AMSAT logo and name. And you can go over to www.amsat.org/product-amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. All right, we've got the VUCC satellite standings here for February 2025. And here are the firsts from the new VUCC satellite holders for February 2025. And let's see, like last time we had the list, there were a whole bunch of new people on it, I guess because they just finally got caught up with the time that the logbook of the world was down. So there were a whole bunch of new ones on there, so this list is going to be much shorter. Thank goodness. Okay, here we go. N5YIZ is the first VUC satellite holder from EL08, KA6WI/W9, or EN54 is the first VUCC satellite holder from EN54. Okay, W4BB is the first from FM04. G4BWP is the first VUC satellite holder from grid J002. And SV8CKM is the first from KM08. SV2DSJ is the first holder from grid KN10. We've got ER1KW, first VUC satellite holder from Moldova, and grid KN46. Congratulations. All right, from grid KO85, we've got RA3LAS, the first VUCC satellite holder. And then from China, we've got BG6HXD, first VUC satellite holder from grid OM83. And then we've also got BI8FFH, the first VUC satellite holder from grid PM06. And we'll say thanks to John Goering, N7AZ, for letting us know about those new folks. And they're making new grids available. All right, this is Marty, WV5Y with the Houston AmSatNet. Let's see, looks like we do have some changes to the AmSat North America TLE distribution. Two-line elements, or TLEs often referred to as Keplerian elements, or just KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs, and weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites. TLE bulletin files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day, and a new bulletin file will be posted immediately after reliable available for new amateur satellites. Okay, you can find more information on Keplerian elements over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. And, of course, thanks to Bruce, KK5VO. He makes our links that we read off here available over at our website, so it makes it easy to click on there if you hear about something you want to investigate further. And that's over at our site at amsatnet.com. So we appreciate Bruce putting that stuff up there. Also, all the satellite award information that he's got up there. So if you want to find out how to get some of these awards for making satellite contacts, look for that information from Bruce, KK5VO. That's over at amsatnet.com and also at amsat.org. Okay, this week, Hades-R or SO-124 NORAD catalog ID 62690 has been added to this week's AMSAT TLE distribution. And then being deleted from this week's distribution, we've got SO-120 NORAD catalog ID 56992 decayed from orbit on or about 11th of February, 2025. And then we've got XW2C, NORAD catalog ID 40906, indicated from orbit on or about the 16th of February. And we want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, AMSAT Orbital Elements Manager, for that information. All right, it's Marty, WV from SatNet. Let's see, we've got some ARIS news. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. So the downlink frequency on which to listen in to the action, it's on 145.800 megahertz worldwide. Looks like this is the first time I've seen it. Looks like we've got a failed contact. The Royal Moroccan Air Academy in Marrakesh, Morocco had a contact direct via CN8ERA. ISS call sign scheduled to be OR4ISS with crew member Sunita Williams, KD5PLB. The ARIS mentor is IN3GHZ. The contact was not successful. It was on going to be on 2/21/2025 at 11:20 UTC with a 72-degree maximum elevation. ARIS is working to determine exactly what happened. Okay, as far as upcoming contacts, there are no additional contacts scheduled in the immediate future. But the crossband repeater on the International Space Station continues to be active. It's on 145.990 megahertz up with a PL tone of 67. And then the downlink frequency on which to listen is on 437.800 megahertz.
PL-123.
And remember, while trying to contact the ISS, if any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know. You might get to talk to one of the astronauts. And the packet system is also active. It's on at 145.825 megahertz up and down. But as always, if there's an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the ARRIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. Okay, note, all times that we list here are approximate. It's recommended you do your own orbital prediction or start listening about 10 minutes before the times we have listed. The latest information on the operation mode for the ISS can be found at www.ars.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use can be found at www.ars.org/contact-v-iss.html. And we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the ARRIS operation team mentors, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. Kyle Chavez, WA4PGM, will be QRV from St. Lucia from the 26th February through 4th March as J68HZ, but the operation was suspended due to extreme weather. So you can keep an eye on hams.at for additional info if you were looking for working that one. See, another upcoming satellite operation is Tom Gaines, KB5FHK. He plans the operations from grid EM62 and from EM72 on March 8th and 9th. Look also at hams.at for details. A growing number of satellite rovers are currently engaged in sharing their grid square activations over on hams.at. By visiting the website, you gain easy access to comprehensive information about the operators responsible for activating specific grid squares. Additionally, you have the ability to assess the max square between yourself and a particular rover for a given pass, while also being able to see the upcoming satellite passes that are accessible from your location. We want to thank Ian Parsons, K5ZM, AmSat Rover Page Manager, for that information. All right. We've got some action here. The Irvingham Fest is March 1st, 2025 at the Betcha Bingo Hall in Irving, Texas. We've got the Greater Houston Ham Fest. Of course, that's this weekend, March 7th and 8th. And there's going to be some great amateur demonstrations on operating HF. There's going to be satellite operations going on, balloon launches. U of H crew should be there blasting off rockets. Should be a lot of good activity going on and a lot of stuff to buy. And a good time to be had by all. Okay, we've got the Midwinter Madness Ham Fest at the Buffalo Civic Center, March 22nd. And that's at 1306 County Road 134 in Buffalo, Minnesota. And you can go to k0ltc.org/midwinter-madness. And you should see K0JM, AD0HJ, and KE0PBR there. All right, April 4th through 5th, the Southeastern VHF Conference in Clarksville, Tennessee. And then there's Large Fest on April 5th. at rarsfest.org at the Jim Graham Building in Raleigh, North Carolina. Okay, you can join AMSAT today by going to launch.amsat.org, and AMSAT offers membership to societies. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at one half the standard yearly rate, and post-secondary school students enrolled at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum secondary years in the status. Memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. We get 7-3, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space. And that's from this week's ANS editor, Mark Johns, K0JM. That's mjohns@amsat.org. All right. We hope everybody enjoyed this version this week of the Houston AMSAT Net. We look forward to catching everybody next week. Stay safe. Keep playing with those radios. Hopefully we'll see everybody at the Greater Houston AM Fest. Make lots of satellite contacts, and look forward to catching everybody next week. From Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5VO up there in Roman Forest, and myself, Marty, WV5Y in Northwest Houston, we say 7-3 from this week from the Houston AMSAT Net.
This is the W5BSA repeater.
Great job, Marty. You didn't time it out one time. It was perfect timing. Thanks again. And it was going through really good. It took me about 15 minutes to remember the command of how to turn it on, but I got it down for next week anyway. Anyway, great net. Thanks again, W5BSA.
All right, thanks, Joe. I got a little worried there. I might have gone a little long once or twice, but glad to know that we were good over there. So 7-3s, and catch you next week, and hopefully we'll see you on maybe Friday and Saturday.